Morning of today's daf and gittin is Tes Vav. We start today on Yedalim and Beis, a little bit less than halfway down. We're starting today at the two dots. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lona Zechon Nishmas Lubik Avriela Bashmuel. You will recall that a lot of our discussion is to the interpretation of the word holech. I instruct somebody to deliver. So when I say the word holech, is that my saying at the same time of holech is zachi? Meaning that we have an idea of zach la'adam, that you can create a zechus for somebody, you can create an acquisition on behalf of somebody else. If he doesn't have knowledge about it, so you could do so, shalom b'fanav, you could be zochi shalom b'fanav, but of course that's only if it's something which is exclusively good. Getting money is good. It's not. You're right, it's... Okay, there obviously having money has its pitfalls as well, but getting money is obviously a good thing. So if I say holech, and what I mean by holech is the word zocheh, even though I don't say the word zocheh, so that basically means that I created a kinyan on behalf of somebody else, even before he received it. And the explanation is very simple, because he did receive it. Meaning if the word holech means zachi, so that means that he received it. He got it the moment that it went into the shliach's hand. But you didn't say the word zoche, you just simply said the word holech. And what does the word holech mean? Does holech consider like you're saying zoche or not? So you remember that yesterday we discussed this topic, and today we're going to continue discussing this topic. This topic will take us to the end of the parak. So let's begin the sugya. So, holech mana leploni. So your instructions were as follows: I want you to deliver this money to so and so. Uviksha v'lamatzo. Now, the shliach goes, and the shliach now has a mission. He's got money in his hands, and he's supposed to give it to so and so. The problem is that the person's no longer with us. Okay, the Gemara says it very nicely, but he died. Okay, the recipient now has died. And Tanich Adi Achzul Meshlech V'Tanya Idach Liorshe Mishin Eshtachulo. So the Gemara quotes two brises, and the brises are at odds in terms of who the recipient should be. Opinion number one, brisa number one says, is that it should go to the back to the Meshalech, meaning the recipient unfortunately is no longer alive. And so therefore, okay, so the shlech turns around, goes back home with the money, and gives it back to the one who sent him. A second brisa says no. The designated recipient is in fact zoche, he acquired it, and because he acquired it, it's his money. He never got to enjoy the money, but that's fine. It's his money. And therefore, what happens with that money and the rest of his estate, it goes to his yorshim, goes to the inheritor. So the two brises are clearly at odds at who should be the recipient of the money. The Gemara now wants to give what seems to be a very simple and good explanation in terms of what these two brises are hinging on. So the Gemara now is suggesting this is a nekuda machlokas. One brisa says that the correct way to understand the word holech is like saying you're zocha. The guy is saying to the shliach, the sender is saying to the shliach, I want you to be zocha this on behalf of so-and-so. The moment it gets into his hands, that's it. You now have a kinyan. And now this money belongs to the designated recipient. Right. Okay, he dies, okay, but he's the designated recipient. So the second brisa is subscribing with the viewpoint of holech is operating like you're saying zochi. Masha'in came, the first brisa says that no. Holech means I want you to deliver it. When is he actually going to acquire it? When it physically gets into his hands. But until that point in time, you're the shliach, but you're not going to be... You're not receiving it on his behalf. So this is the machlokas between the two prices, how to understand the word holech. So Amar Rabbi Abba Mar Mama Dukule Amar Holech Lav Kizchi. So the Gemara is going to give three different explanations of these two prices, and all of them are going to be in agreement. Saying the word holech by itself is not like saying zechi. If the man wanted the money to be acquired on the other person's behalf, he would have said zechi, but he didn't. He said the word holech, and the Gemara now is going to assume it doesn't mean zechi. V'lo kasha habavari habeshchei meira. So here we go. Answer number one, and as we'll see, these three answers coming up are not mutually exclusive. They all can operate side by side, just different ukimtas in terms of how to understand these two brises. So number one says the Gemara. Is that one's talking about bari and one's talking about shchemira? Okay, someone who, when giving the money to the shliach, it was in a healthy state of life. If he was in a healthy state of life, so how do kinyanim work? Like they normally work. If we're talking about money, so how do I? Money is taken. Money is the mechanism of kinyan by money is meshicha. In other words, it goes about with the regular means of kinyanim. and an instruction is not a kinyan when it comes to a healthy person. So that means that the money does not actually belong to the recipient until the recipient physically gets the money. That is brisa number one. That's why when the recipient is no longer there, in other words, the shlich got there and the recipient now is dead, the shlich is just simply going to turn around and bring it back to the one who sent it to him. Masha Enkein, the second brisa, that's talking about shchiv meira. We've discussed this before, we're discussing it again right now, and that is the institution of the chachamim made, that when it comes to shchiv meira, he's dying. So, and the chachamim were worried that right now he's in a frail state of mind, and we don't want him to be tatarif daito, we don't want him to get even more strained and stressed than he already is. So the Chachamim said that he's given a special dispensation that for him, Kinyanim is created through just a simple instruction. You're going to get this money for a Shchiv Meira, that's a Kinyan. It's the words of a Shchiv Meira are Kiksuvim uKimesurim. It's like it's written, it's like it's already delivered. That's a special takana that was made for a Shchiv Meira. The second Braisa, he's a Shchiv Meira. So his instruction by itself creates a Kinyan. That's answer number one. Answer number two. Rav Zvid Amar Hava Ha B'Shchiv Meira. Rav Zvid said that both Braises are talking about a Shchiv Meira. Hadi Islam Makaba B'Shas Mat Maos. And over here, in terms of explaining the discrepancy between the two brisas, we'll say it like this. If we're talking about a regular case of a Shchiv Meira, obviously his instruction is enough to create a kinyan. So the brisa that says that the shlech, when he gets there, is going to deliver the money, and even though the recipient is dead, but he's going to deliver the money. Why? Because the instruction was all, the instruction of the mishalech is all you need in order to create a kinyan. What about the other brisa? The brisa says that the shlech is going to turn around and bring it back home again. That's talking about, says Rav Zvid, a scenario in which the recipient died and he was already dead even at the time of instruction. Just that the Mishalech didn't know that. So he was already dead at the time of instruction. So as Rashi points out, this is what's called Taos. This is a mistake. It's a Mekach Taos. Mekach Taos is not exactly the way to describe it here, but it's a mistake. There was a faulty assumption going into this transaction that the Shchiv Meira thought the other person was alive. He wasn't alive. Okay, so therefore there's no kinyan being registered. And that's why it's going to be returned back to the Mishalech. That is the answer number two. Rav Papa Amar, here we go with the third answer. Hava Habibari. So both cases are talking about where the gifter was healthy. Now again, if the gifter is healthy, the instruction by itself does not create the kinyan. The kinyan is only when the money actually gets into the hands of the recipient. Hadamis mekabel b'chayin osein. Hadamis nosein b'chayin mekabel. And the Gemara explains that what's going on over here is the following. Another concept, and that is the concept of the gifter after having given instruction. And after now the money is en route to the recipient, the gifter himself died. Now, if the gifter himself died, now we have another concept, very similar to Shchiv Meira, but it's not the same, and that is mitzvah l'kayim divrei hametz. Somebody gave instructions before he died, and then he died. So we have basically a mission, and the Gemara calls it a mitzvah. Okay, it's not one of Tayag, but we basically have to fulfill his last will and testament. His last wishes were that this money go to so and so. So now mitzvah l'kayim divrei hametz, which is powerful enough that it could create a kinyan. So let's go over both scenarios. The first scenario is where, again, we are now going to have a gifter and we're going to have a recipient. And they both died. And they died while the shliach was en route. Here's how it's going to go. If, let's say, the shliach with his money in tow goes to the recipient and finds that the recipient died. So now, if the recipient died before the gifter died, so at this point in time, there's no kinyan. Because again, the gifter was healthy, so the instruction was not enough to create a kinyan, and the recipient died before the gifter, so we don't have a principle of mitzvah l'kayim divrei hametz. But now let's do the same scenario, but let's just change the order now of death. Again, the shliach is now has the money in his hand, is now delivering the money. He gets to the recipient died, and the gifter also died. If the gifter died before the recipient, now he is charged with the instruction of mitzvah l'kayim divrei hameis. The gifter gave him, his last instruction was to deliver this money to so-and-so. The gifter died first. Since the gifter died first, so now we have a principle of mitzvah l'kayim divrei hameis, and therefore the money is going to in fact go to the designated recipient, even though the designated recipient wasn't there to actually collect the money. Okay.
When is the kinyan
done? So the kinyan is going to happen when the person died. Meaning when that person died, so now we are...
After
he died. Now we're bound by this general idea of we have to fulfill his last wishes. And that requirement of fulfilling his last wishes actually creates the kinyan. That's what creates the kinyan. There's a discussion, he brings it down over here. It's an important discussion. Once you have this principle of mitzvah l'kayim divrei hameis, so then why do you need an institution of shchiv meirah? Right? They seem to be very similar to one another, and there are, and you have to, I mean, we don't have to do anything. The Rishonim already discussed it in terms of making fine-tuned distinctions between the principle of shchiv meirah and the principle of mitzvah l'kayim divrei hameis. Okay. But what we come out now is three different ways to explain the two brisos, and in all three, we basically left the idea that holech is kizchi. Holech is not like saying the word zachi, and therefore it's just a question now of the different ukimtas in terms of how you're going to deal with the brisa. The two brisas are talking about where he's a shchimera. The two brisas are talking about where he was healthy. But we basically constructed scenarios in which we can explain either the shlich is going to bring it to the is going to keep delivering it to the family of the recipient, or no, the shlech is going to bring it back home, depending on the various scenarios.
If you say holech is not kizchi, why didn't he create the agency?
He created the agency just to deliver it. Just to deliver it. But I don't want it to be his until he actually receives it. And then you, the shliach, and that goes back to yesterday's discussion in terms of the shliach's responsibility and liability. But that was yesterday's discussion, is that, generally speaking, the shliach himself is not going to be liable. The courier himself is not, unless they make a kinyan. Mm-hmm. Now, that was yesterday's discussion.
Is that the shliach could also maybe last long enough to change its word.
Yeah, right. And if the shchimera doesn't die, so then obviously they're not the same. But if the shchimera doesn't die, so then his gift is also retracted.
No, but he's going to die in 48 hours instead of 24 hours.
Okay, yeah, but all right, right. Again, right. It requires an explanation of what the difference is. But they're very similar. The ideas are similar to one another. Okay, Lema. We're back in the Gemara now. We are still on Yudal Amud Beis. We're more than halfway down on the Amud. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the Shir, the rest of today is discussing this issue of how to understand the word holech. Is holech just simply deliver? Or is holech saying, not only deliver, but you're going to acquire it on his behalf? So, Lema, holech is chi tanaihi. So the Gemara says that maybe this issue is subject to a machlokas tanaim. The Gemara is going to quote a brisa. And here, in this brisa, there are going to be more than two opinions. Hard to imagine. It's either holech is zechi or holech is not zechi. But the brisa over here is going to bring down a number of opinions in terms of what the correct thing for the shliach is to do. Ditanya, here's a brisa. Holech manel ploni v'alachu v'ikshav l'matzu. Okay, so in the first opinion of the brisa, so again the shlech was given money and the assignment of deliver to so-and-so. And then when he gets to there, so-and-so is no longer with us. Okay, so let's say, okay, he's not here anymore. Fine, turns around, goes back to the gifter. Okay, and the gifter also decided that, or Kadosh Baruch Hu decided that it's time for him to leave the world as well. So now the shlich has got money, and where does he go with the money? So the gifter and the giftee are both no longer with us. What do you do with the money? So Yachzur l'mishalech, meis mishalech, Rabbi Nassim, Rabbi Yaakov, Amru, Yachzur l'yorshe mishalech. So, opinion number one, Rabbi Nassim, Rabbi Yaakov, both are of the opinion that what should happen is it should go back to the yorshim of the gifter. Okay. Rabbi Yeshomrim. Okay. The Yesharmim say no. It should go to the family of the recipient. The Rabbi Huda, Nasi Omer, Mishum Rabbi Yaakov, Shamar Mishum Rabbi Meir, and then the Gemara has the Masorah going back to Rabbi Meir. Mitzvah Lekayim Divrei Hameis. Well, the gifter obviously had a wish. He had, his wish was that the money be delivered to the recipient, so you got to follow his instruction. The Chachamim say that the money is to be divided out of Suffolk because we don't know where the money should go. V'kanamru, and then here we said, here meaning in Bavel, it's just in terms of a mechanical issue in the Brisa, I'm not really sure how it works because the Brises were authored in Eretz Yisrael. So when the Brisa says the words v'kanamru, so, I mean, Rashi says the kind over here means bubble. So it's just mechanically, I don't fully understand. Usually, Brisos, Mishnayos are all Eretz Yisrael, not bubble. Okay, it's a mechanical issue. The Kan Amru, Koma Shiyirtz the Shliach Yaseh. Whatever the Shliach wants to do with the money, that's what he's supposed to do with the money. And we'll discuss more of that a little bit later on. I'm Rabbi Shimon Hanasi, Al Yadai Hayamaiser. Rabbi Shimon Hanasi describes that this instance happened with me. V'amru Yachzer Liyorshe Mishalech. The money should go back to the inheritors of the Mishalech. Okay. You have enough opinions over here? There are a lot of opinions. It's enough. More than enough. A lot of opinions of what should be done with the money. So again, the story starts off with a gift of giving money to a shliach. The shliach then goes to the person to deliver the money. The person is no longer here. So now what happens with that money? And compound that with the secondary issue of the gifter himself died. So what now happens with the money? So the Braisa brings down a number of opinions. What is all this hinging on? So now the Gemara is going to suggest. So, and by the way, there are a lot of opinions which we haven't explained really yet. We're going to explain all the opinions in a moment, but the reason why the Gemara brings down this Braisa is to make the suggestion that maybe one of the core issues of the Braisa over here is how to understand the word holech. The Gemara goes on to suggest. My love, b'ha kemiflegi. Tana kama sever holech lav kischi v'Rabbi Nassim, Rabbi Yaakov nami holech lav kischi. So the Tana kama and Rabbi Nassim and Rabbi Yaakov are all of the opinion that the word holech by itself does not mean I want you to be zocha, which means that just because the shliach has the money in his hand doesn't mean that the money now has been acquired by the recipient. It just simply means that the shliach is going to deliver the money, but the money itself hasn't been transacted as of yet. And the afagav, now according to the Tana Kama, good. What did the Tana Kama say? The recipient is no longer alive. Give it back to the sender. What is Rabbi Nassim and Rabbi Yaakov coming to add to this point? Afagav the mis lomin mitzolakayim devar ames. That according to Rabbi Nassim and Rabbi Yaakov, even if the problem is compounded by the fact that the gifter has died, doesn't matter. The money still stays by the gifter, and it will go to the family of the gifter, because they don't subscribe to the principle of mitzvah l'kayim devar ames. So that explains the position of the Tana Kama and Rabbi Nassim and Rabbi Yaakov. V'yesh omrim. Now the third opinion in the Braisa, holech k'zachi. He's operating with the assumption that the word holech is like saying zachi. So that means that once the money goes into the hands of the shliach, that is a kinyan, and now the money belongs to the recipient. And that's why, even though the recipient has died, the money will stay by the family of the recipient. Rav Yehuda Anasi, Amar Mishum Rav Yaakov, Shamar Mishum Rabbi Meir Holech, Lav Kizchi. The next opinion of the Braisa subscribes to the idea that the word Holech is not like saying Zachi. But because the gifter has died, so now we kick in with this principle of you need to follow the last wishes of this person, and that's why the money is going to go to the designated recipient. And the chachamim say that the money is going to be divided because of a suffik. We don't know where the money should go. So mamun amutu b'suffik, money that stands to be divided yachloku. It's to be. I'm sorry. Money that's in doubt, Yachloku is supposed to be divided. Is he's subscribing to the general Simchus principle? So that's not clear. Tosus has that discussion, but that explains that opinion. And Vikana Amru, now here in Bava, what do we say? Shuda Adif. Discretion over here is going to be the determinant in terms of where the money is. Discretion of the Shliach. The shliach will make the decision in terms of who should be the recipient of the money. Now, how is he going to make that decision? So this is interesting. It's a machlokas Rashi Tosfos in terms of how he's going to make that decision. Rashi says, now Rashi is very consistent because we have another principle which is very similar. It's called shuda d'daini. Shuda d'daini means that sometimes the Gemara tells us that when the dayanim don't have a halachic a clear halachic decision of who should be the winner and who should be the loser of this particular court case. So sometimes the Gemara says, shuta d'daini, let the judges make a discretionary call. Based on what? So Rashi there says, and Rashi here says the same thing as well. Now here it's not judges, here it's a shliach, but the same basic idea. It's going to be a discretionary call. Based on, says Rashi, what they believe was the real intent of the gifter and the recipient. Okay, in other words, they're going to have to try to figure out what the gifter really would have wanted. Which, one second. Tosos, however, says, he says it over there and he says it here as well. Tosos says, no, that's not what shuta d'daini means. Shuta d'daini means it's just simply based on the discretion of the judges, and or in this case the shliach, in terms of who the money should go. Not because they're going to try to figure out psychologically what did the gifter want, what did the recipient want. In other words, they're just simply going to be allowed this decision-making ability of determining who's going to be the rightful recipient. Dan, just give me one second. So v'kanar mishu de adiv, and then Rabbi Shimon Anasi ma'isa asalash minan, and then the last point in the brisa of the story of regarding Rabbi Shimon Anasi ma'isa raf, meaning it's not a new opinion. It's just simply saying here's what actually happened at one point in time. And this is how we actually ruled. So in other words, in the Beis Medrash, you have a lot of opinions, right? Everyone has a svara, everyone has an argument. Okay, that's great for the Beis Medrash. But now, practical halacha. What actually happened? Here's what actually happened. Once there was a shliach who was entrusted with money to be delivered. The recipient died. And then what actually happened? The money was returned back to the gifter. And even though the gifter himself died, the money is going to be given to the family of the gifter. Maisa Raf. It's just this is what actually happened. Yeah, Danny.
In the case of doubt, why can't we use a practical chazaka always to return to the gifter?
The problem now is, Danny, excellent question, but here, let's consider. Where's the money right now?
It's in the gifter's hand.
It's in the shliach's hand.
The shliach is the gifter.
The shliach is right now somewhere in between. Right. If the money were in the hands of the gifter, so then of course you're right. Now we have a chazaka. Right? Possession is 10/10 of the law.
No, it depends if you say holas means in
Right.
I don't know if it's in the hand of the sender.
Correct. But now, yeah. Right, but that's exactly why we're in the middle right now. We're in the middle because the money's in
right.
Neither's hand.
Right.
Okay?
That's a
subject. Huh? Well, at the end of this whole sugya, we'll all figure out what the halach is. But right now, what the Gemara is laying out is here's a brisa. There are, I was going to say, five opinions in the brisa, and right, the Gemara is now again is suggesting is that it's at the core of the central issue in this brisa is how to understand the word halach. And now the Gemara, once again, after making that suggestion, is going to basically take this theory and basically crumple it up. So, Maisa Asalashmina. Look, so the Gemara says, we're still on Yudal Mud Beis, 5 lines from the bottom, and the Gemara, a simple dismissal of this suggestion. Gemara says, no. If the person was healthy at the time when he gave the money over to the... to the shliach, we're all in agreement that there was no transaction. The shliach is not acting on behalf of the recipient. The word holech is not to be understood as saying the word zocha. Over here, what's at issue is that we're talking about where the gifter was somebody who was dying. Did not. And now the Gemara is going to introduce us to a Mishnah Baba Basra. Okay, this Mishnah in Baba Basra, it's interesting, the end of Baba Basra spends a considerable amount of time talking about probate, talks about how money is passed from one generation to the next generation, what we also know as Yerusha. Now, without instruction, so what do we know regarding Yerusha? It will be an equitable distribution. Of course, I'm not talking about the firstborn. I'm leaving that out. And the girls also do not get a Yerusha. It will be an equitable distribution between the surviving sons. That's a simple resolution of what happens with the state. However, as a Mishnah, we're going to see the Mishnah now inside. Let's say dad was dying. Now he's a Shemira, and he's giving instruction of who should get what money. So basically, he's rewriting Hilchos Derusha. He's not rewriting it. It's just that before he's dying, he would like this to go to this son, this to go to this son, as we're going to see in just a moment. Maybe he wants his daughter to have something. So he could do that all while he's dying. And while he's dying now, he's in the halachic description of being a Shechev Merah. So that means that even though he didn't do a proprietary transaction, an actual kinyan, it's still all going to be effective. What we're going to see in just a moment is that not everyone agrees with that. Rav Elazar doesn't agree with this principle. And now we're going to see this all right now. Machlok is between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. And basically now the Gemara says, after we're going to see all that, then we're going to plug all that into the Braisa. But the Braisa is talking about a Shechiv Merah. It's not talking about a healthy person.
He's just doing it as a gift, as a
Yerusha. No.
He gives as a gift, it's going to be accepted.
He's saying this is what's going to happen right now.
Right now.
Right now.
So he's considering a gift or Yerusha?
No, it's a gift. He's gifting.
Because a father can give.
He could do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
That's correct. In other words, he knows what's going to happen if he dies. There'll just simply be an equitable distribution between the surviving sons. Okay, but now he's gifting. So here's the Mishnah Baba Basra. Ha mechalek. Sorry.
The question.
One second, you'll see. Did not. Hamachak nechasav alpiv. So he's dividing his estate based on his word, meaning he's instructing. Rabbi Lazar Omer echabar vecha masukan nechasim sheish lamachrayis nikdem bekesef ishtar vechazaka v'sheish lamachrayis enikdem ela b'mashicha. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, how does everything get divided? It gets divided with a kinyan. Even though he's dying, even though he's a shchimera, everything gets divided with a kinyan. The classic traditional form of kinyan. If we're talking about real estate, kesef shtar chazaka. If we're talking about movable items, mishicha. And Rashi points out, Tosas points out over here, we don't mean mashicha to the exclusion of the other forms of kinyanim. We're just simply, all he's saying is, the word by itself is not enough. You need a kinyan, according to Rabbi Eliezer. It means that according to Rabbi Elazar, he doesn't have this institution of Shechiv Merah. That's what it seems to be. And And the Chachamim say, no, he's a Shechiv Merah. If he's a Shechiv Merah, so the word by itself, the instruction by itself, creates a kinyan. And you don't have to do the classic kinyanim of Kesef Shtar Chazaka when it comes to property, and of Meshicha when it comes to movable items. Divrei Shechiv Merah. So, the Elav Elan Ignam Amira Amrulo Maisa Be'iman Shal B'nei Rochel. There was an incident where you had the mother of B'nei Rochel, Shaisa Chola, she was sick, meaning critically ill. She was a Shchimera. The Amra, and her instruction was Tinasin, Kavina Si Libiti. She had a piece of jewelry, it was worth a small fortune, and she wanted to give it to her daughter. She instructed, she verbally said, it's going to be give to my daughter. Vihi kishne masar mana, umesa, and it was close to 12 mana, small fortune. She dies, vikayim chachamim devareha. And the chachamim were there, and the chachamim said, okay. You know who gets it? The daughter gets it. Because that was her instruction before she died. Now, without instruction, what would have happened? It would have been equitably distributed amongst the surviving sons. It wouldn't have gone to the daughter. But she said it was going to go to the daughter. So because she said it, therefore it was given. Why? Because she was dying. And now we have the principle of the Divrei Shechiv Merah. So what is Rabbi Elazar? Now, Rabbi Elazar can't deny the story. The story is correct. The story happened. So, but that goes against his opinion, because Rabbi Elazar says that the only way these things are actually transacted is only going to be if there is an actual kinyan that was done. In this case, we're talking about a piece of jewelry. So that means that before she died, the daughter would have had to have done a meshicha on the item. So the kimucha kam in mitzvah amr lahem. So Rebbe Lazar's only response in this case is, don't bring that as a case study. meaning I'm not going to argue with what happened. With what happened is true, and the Chachamim did allow the daughters to the daughter, I should say, to receive it. But here it's a unique scenario. Amalem b'nei Rochel tikabrem imam. The sons of Rochel should bury their mother. It's obviously a very harsh statement, but basically what it means, says Rashi, is that this is a b'nei Rishayim. This is a family of wicked people. The Chachamim operated with this family not within the framework of law. They penalized the family because this family was not a good family. See Rashi for exactly, and the Gemara in Baba Basra, for exactly what this family did wrong. Rashi tells us, I'm just for the interest of time right now, I'm not going to go through it, but Rebbe Lazar is saying now, this is not precedent halacha, this is unprecedented halacha based on that particular family. Anyway, what do we have over here? Mishnah Baba Basra, that tells us a very fundamental machlokus between Rebbe Elazar and the Chachamim. The person's dying is a shchimera. The Chachamim say that the words, the instructions by themselves creates a kinyan. Meaning what we all know by the different shchimera. And Rebbe Elazar disagrees. He just simply does not subscribe to this idea. And according to Rebbe Elazar, the only way kinyanim work is only with a formal kinyan. Now that we know all this, now we'll go back to the Braisa, and now we're going to plug all this into the Braisa. Now, Tanakama, Rebbe Elazar. So as far as the Tanakama is concerned, so again, remember, what's the Braisa dealing with? The person is dying. And he gives money over to a shliach. And he says, I want this to go to so-and-so. So now, it's different shchemira. Now the person has the money in hand, goes to the recipient, is no longer with us. What happens with the money? So the money is turned around and goes back to the one who delivered it. So Tana Kama Karev Elazar. Now, even though at the time when the gifter gave the money to the shliach, he was dying, the Tana Kama subscribes to Rav Elazar's viewpoint, which is, I don't subscribe to this idea of Divrei Shchemira. And Rabbi Nassim, Rabbi Yaakov, Nami Karev Elazar, and Rabbi Nassim, Rabbi Yaakov, that's the second opinion in the Braisa. So they also agree with Rav Elazar. And they're going to go even one step further, which is that when the Shlech goes back to this one who sent him and finds that he died, then we now have Mitzvah Lekayim Divrei Ameis, not according to Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Nassan. Afagav demis lo amina mitzvah lekayim divrei ameis. We don't subscribe, meaning Rabbi Nassan and Rabbi Yaakov, we don't subscribe to this principle. So in other words, we don't subscribe to the principle of shchemira. We don't subscribe to the principle of divrei lekayim divrei mitzvah lekayim divrei ameis. And that's why now the money is going to go back to the gifter, or in this case, the family of the gifter. That explains opinions number one and two. They both subscribe to Rabbi Lazar. The yeshomrim kerabanan. Now the yeshomrim, what do they say? That the money should go to the family of the recipient. Why? Because when the gifter was giving the money, it was a shchemira. And the shchemira creates a kinyan just by verbal instruction alone. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Shama Mishum Rabbi Meir Karab Elazar. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, in the name of Rabbi Meir, subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Elazar. Again, not subscribing to this whole idea of shchemira. But where they depart, where they argue, is where the gifter dies. If the gifter dies, so then we have the principle of mitzvah lekayim divrei ameis. V'chacham miyachlokim esafklu. As far as the chacham and the money is to be divided, suffik. We don't know who the proper recipient of that money should be, so therefore the money is to be divided. V'kanam ruin here in Bavel shuda adiv. We operate with the principle of we don't know where the money should go. The money is right now being held by the shliach. Let him, with his discretionary ability, decide who's going to be the proper recipient of that money. And again, as we mentioned earlier, machlokus and Rashi, between Rashi and Tosos, how exactly he's going to make that discretionary call, but it's his discretion. Rabbi Shimon Hanasi Maisa Asa Lashminan. And finally, according to Rabbi Shimon Hanasi, he says that Maisa Shahaya, this event actually occurred, and he says that the halach is the money goes back to the gifter, and it doesn't go to the designated recipient. Okay, I'm going to pause just to breathe. It'll take a second, and so now we have now the Braisa, but we explained the Braisa, all sidestepping the issue of how to understand the word holech. The word holech does not mean zachi. The Braisa is talking about a shchemira, and the issue in the Braisa is how to understand the conceptually, in this case practically, how do kinyanim work when it comes to a shchemira. Ibai Lahu. Just finishing up the parak, the Gemara has just a couple of loose ends to tie up. Number one, Rabbi Shimon Hanasi. Have you ever heard that before? Who is Rabbi Shimon Hanasi? Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, we know. Right? Rabbi Gamliel was a Nasi. And there were other Nasim as well. But where do we ever find Rabbi Shimon Hanasi? Was he a Nasi? Now, generally speaking, when it says Rabbi Shimon, so it's generally the Rashbi. It's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. I don't... Whoever this Rabbi Shimon may be, is there such a person as Rabbi Shimon Hanasi? So, Rabbi Shimon Hanasi, Nasi who? O Mishmei de Nasi Kamar. Is Rabbi Shimon himself a Nasi? The Gemara's like having a historical, just a quick historical question. Or was he saying it in the name of a Nasi? Tashma dam Rav Yosef halacha ke Rabbi Shimon Hanasi. So Rav Yosef says the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Hanasi. V'adayin tibaylach Nasi hu dekamim Mishmei de Nasi. Okay, we know what the halacha is, we haven't resolved our historical curiosity in terms of whether he was a Nasi or whether he was quoting a Nasi. Teku. The Gemara says, fine. That question is going to be left unresolved, that historical detail. But now, as we wrap up this whole discussion, the Gemara now is going to talk halacha lamaisa. Meaning, what is the halacha? So, Gufa, I'm Rav Yosef, halacha ka Rabbi Shimon Hanasi. So, Rav Yosef paskind that the halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon Hanasi. Now, again, what was the circumstance? The gifter gave the money to the shliach. Shliach then went to deliver the money to the designated recipient, found that the person was dead. So, what did Rabbi Shimon Hanasi say? He ruled, and Rav Yosef rules in accordance with him, is that the money is to be shuttled back to the gifter. Okay, now, the Gemara says, wait one second. Have you forgotten the last 20 minutes of the daf? First of all, if the person was dying at the time when he gave the instruction, that creates a kinyan. And we said for the last 20 minutes, a little bit less, but we said that the whole b'risa was talking about a shchemira. Well, if the person's a shchemira, so then his instruction creates the kinyan. So why is the money being sent back to the gifter? So Rav Yosef Mukila Bibari. So Rav Yosef says, oh, I didn't understand the b'risa that way. I understood the b'risa was talking about a healthy person. A healthy person, an instruction by itself, it does not create a kinyan. Oh, okay. But the Gemara says, I'm still a little bit confused, because now let's go over the scenario once again. Scenario is that the gifter gave money to the shliach to deliver to so-and-so. The gifter at the time was healthy. The shliach went to deliver the money. The recipient was dead. Okay. Holech is not tantamount to saying zocheh. I get it. The money's going to be delivered back to the gifter. I get that as well. But here, what did the b'risa say? The money's going to be delivered to the family of the gifter because the gifter died while all this was happening. Well, if the gifter died, don't we have a principle of mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames? Gemara's next question. V'hala yorshim mishleach kamar v'kamala mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. Wait a second. If the gifter died, this now turned into one of the last instructions that the gifter made. And we have a principle of we need to fulfill the last wishes of a person. And his wishes were that this money was going to go to so-and-so. And that creates a kinyan. So the Gemara says, how is Rav Yosef going to deal with that? So Tani, Yachzor L'Mishalech. So the Gemara says, Rav Yosef takes out his pen, goes back to the Braisa, and takes out the words Yorsh Mishalech, and just has the word Mishalech, meaning that the money goes back to the gifter, he's not dead. Right? Rumors and allegations, but it's not rumors. In other words, he just takes it out of the brisa. He's alive and well. So now Holech is not saying zocheh. He was healthy at the time of instruction. That didn't create a kinyan. So there was no kinyan. Because there was no kinyan, money goes right back to the gifter, and that is in fact the halacha. So the Gemara on all these issues, right? At least I could say, you know, we could walk away with some very definitive points. In terms of Holech, the Gemara's conclusion seems to be very clear that Holech is not like saying Zachi, right? The Gemara suggested it multiple times over the course of yesterday and today's daf, but the Gemara rejects the idea that the word Holech is not saying Zoche. A person is dying and his instructions create a kinyan. So we know it's a Mishnah in Baba Basra, we know that's a machlokus, but the halacha is like the Chachamim, that when a Shchiv Meirah is dying, his instruction creates a kinyan. On top of that, one other principle that we just concluded is that even if a person is healthy, but then he dies, and he had wishes before he died, so mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames, so we have an imperative to fulfill the words of the person who died, And that also would create a kinyan as well. Hadron Lachamevi, comma, that is the end of the first parak of Git. I'll tell you. It happens on occasion. Somebody writes a check. You're holding the check, and then the person who wrote the check died. So now the question comes up: what do you do with the check now? So you have all these operating principles. I mean, when the person wrote the check, was he a Shchemira? So that becomes an element, even if he wasn't a Shchemira at the time when he wrote the check, but now he's dead. Clearly he wanted the money to go so-and-so. I mean, he wrote a check. So mitzvah l'kayim devar ha'meis. Okay, it's a much more practical issue. Obviously, I'm just, based on the Gemara that we learn, so we're obviously not going to conclude, but based on the Gemara we learn, at least we can be pointed in the right direction, and then you go to your local Orthodox rabbi. Rabbi Shimon Anasi. Right. Okay. Right, Maisa Rav, meaning that was that was an episode. Okay. Start now the second parak of the Masechta. Hamevi get me Medina Sayam. All this should sound.
The incidents of the woman giving the jewelry.
So she was dying. She was dying. So Divrei Shchemira.
So Rabbi Lazar wasn't right.
It wasn't right. In other words, it's not his position. It's not the one that's followed Allah. Hamevi gemi medinas yam va'amar b'fani nechtav avala b'fani nechtav b'fani nechtav avala b'fani nechtav. Okay, so a person is delivering a get mi medinas yam. All this should sound familiar because this is going to sound almost identical to the first mishnah of the first parak. In fact, it pretty much is identical. The Gemara is going to ask the question, what are we doing learning the same information again? But let's learn the same information again, and let's remind each other. A person is delivering a get from outside of Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, so when delivering the get to the designated recipient, in this case we're talking about a woman, we're talking about a divorce document, so the shliach needs to say the words, b'fani nechtav u'b'fani nechtav. The get was written in front of me, the get was signed in front of me. And even though he's one person, but his utterance of these four magical words creates now a validation and authentication of the document. The document now is a certified document based on his testimony. As we've learned in the beginning of the Masechta, but just to review, we're talking now at the issue of Kiyum Ashtaros. We're talking about how to authenticate the signatures of the document. Under normal circumstances, it must be done either by the original people who signed the document, or it's going to be done by two other people who recognize the signature of these two signatures on the document. Or you're going to have another document which was already authenticated compared to this document, and that will be another means of authentication. Although, to be fair and honest, in the entirety of the first parak, we never entertain this as an option when it comes to a divorce document. Okay, that its own discussion, but that's Kiyum Shtaros. The Chachamim over here understood that when you're delivering a get, it's not going to be easy to have not one but two shlichim go and deliver the get. That will be very difficult. And so therefore the Chachamim had a special institution that even though you're one person delivering, you with that one person have the ability to authenticate the signatures of the document with your utterance of the words b'fani nechtav u'b'fani nechtam. Once you say these four magical words, they're not magic, it's a special takana derabanan that now gives this document the authenticity that it needs. Even though you're only one and normally you need two. Why did the Chachamim do this? We learned in the beginning of the Masechta, we don't want women to be aguna. So therefore, we want the get to go through, even though you don't have two people certifying. So therefore, they gave a special power to one witness to authenticate the document. And anyway, we learned in the beginning of the Masechta, Kiyum Shtaros is a din de Rabbanan. So since Kiyum Shtaros is a din de Rabbanan, hey mamru ve hey mamru. So the Chachamim can, so to say, fiddle around a little bit. I don't mean to speak so loosely, but they could fiddle around with this halacha of Kiyum Shtaros and allow one to authenticate the signatures on the document. That's what we learned in the beginning of the Masechta. I did, in this quick recap, I did ignore Rabbah. Rabbah says that another issue is to make sure that the get was written Lishma. Okay, and that's another consideration. But the main issue over here is an issue of Kimshar. And the Gemara acknowledged earlier in the Masechta that Rabbah also was worried about Kimsharis. And Rabbah has a secondary issue, and that was that the get be written Lishma. Okay. With all that stated, so we have a special dispensation. What we're learning out together in the Mishnah is that special dispensation of one shliach being the authenticator of the document, he must utter, meaning when I say utter the words, I mean they also have to be true. He must be able to utter the four words of, the get was written in front of me and it was signed in front of me. His inability to do that, you no longer have the special dispensation of the Chachamim, and the get is not authenticated. So let's start the Mishnah once again. If you bring it, if you deliver a get from overseas, the Amar befaninechtav, avalah befaninechtam, and the shliach says it was written in front of me, but he does not utter, because it wasn't true, it was not signed in front of him. Befaninechtam, avalah befaninechtav, it was signed in front of me, but it was not written in front of me. Befanei nechtav kulo, ubefanei nechtam chetzio. It was written in front of me, but only half of it was signed in front of me. Meaning only one of the people who signed in front of me. Befanei nechtav chetzio, some of it was written in front of me, ubefanei nechtam kulo. And the signature signed in front of me. Puzzle. In all these cases, the get is not going to be a valid get. Meaning even though the Chachamim did make a special dispensation, but in order to make sure that the dispensation is effective and affected, it's only going to be under the circumstances where the get was both written and signed in front of this one shliach. Now let's say two people are delivering the get. Now, as we already pointed out, that's unusual. But let's say the two people did. One of the two says that the get was written in front of me. And the other one says, Befanei Nechtam. And the other one says, and it was signed in front of me. So if I take the sum total of these two reports, you do have Befanei Nechtam, Befanei Nechtam. The problem is, that's not the special institution of the Chachamim. The special institution of the Chachamim is that one person is going to say, Befanei Nechtam, Befanei Nechtam. And you can't patchwork together two different accounts, one saying Befanei Nechtav, and the other one saying Befanei Nechtav. Shnayim omrim Befaneinu Nechtav. Ve'echad omer Befanei Nechtav. If two, let's say, come in, and the two of them say that the get was written in front of us, and one says, yeah, and it was signed in front of me. Puzzle. Under those circumstances, it's going to be puzzle. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. Under these circumstances, Rabbi Yehuda would say it's acceptable. Rashi writes, "Dekaven demitzarchin on laasude nami aksiva, ohu o acher, sulo asil achlufe." So Rabbi Yehuda's basic issue is as follows. Look, this one person now is testifying about the signature. Now there were two people who delivered. Now the two people who delivered were actually present for the writing of the get, the ksivas get. It just happens to be that only one of them was there for the authentication of the signature. Now that one by himself obviously is not enough to authenticate. If he, that one person, said Befanei Nechtam, Befanei Nechtam, that'd be great, because then you're working within the special dispensation of Takanas Chachamim. But we're obviously not. And over here, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that since this one person is testifying to the signature, and obviously you're going to get another person who's also going to authenticate the signature as well, Rabbi Yehuda says, under these circumstances, now we're going to be machshir. Why are the Chachamim disagreeing with Rabbi Yehuda? Rashi explains, because the Chachamim say, look, and if we allow this get to be authenticated, what's going to happen is that the person was standing there and based it. Person in Beis Din didn't realize that there was a second person also authenticating the signature, and he's going to walk away thinking, hey, I didn't know that. Authentication really can be done by one? Who knew? And so from here would come an erroneous conception, or in this case, a misconception in terms of how authentication works. Under normal circumstances, why aren't we worried about confusion? So the Gemara told us in the first parak, Rashi reminds us, because under normal circumstances, Befanei Nechtam is so unusual. That's in fact why the Chachamim wanted the one person to say Befanei Nechtam. To make this so unusual that nobody would ever walk away with a misconception of, hey, authentication can be done with only one. Echad omer b'fanu nechtam, v'shtayim omer b'fanenu nechtam, kosher. Now, what if one person said that the get was written in front of me, and two now are coming in saying, and it was signed in front of us? Under these circumstances, even though you did not have one person say b'fanu nechtam, b'fanu nechtam, the Mishnah says this would be fine. Think about it. What just happened? Two people came in and just authenticated the signatures. What more do you need? That's perfect. In other words, we're not working here with the special dispensation of b'fanu nechtam, b'fanu nechtam. Over here, you have two people authenticating the signature.
Just not according to Rabbi, right?
Yeah, right.
Because you just
right. Right. That's why when I introduced the Mishnah, I chose to not ignore Rabbi, but just the simple way, the simplest way to understand the Mishnah is like Rabbi. Agreed. Hasu lamali. Okay, let's start with the Gemara. Let's introduce ourselves to at least. Let's just get to the first again. So hasu lamali hatana lechada zimna. This Mishnah over here is a repetition of the first Mishnah of the parak of the Masechta. So I may be getting me didn't say I'm sorry. Fanenechta. So the Gemara says imi ayav aminatzarech v'ilo amar v'ilo amar kasha. Without the first Mishnah, or I'm sorry, if all I had was the first Mishnah, I would have thought that look. It's nice to do b'fanenechtam, but it's not an absolute. And failure to say so doesn't disqualify the get. That's the havamina, kamash malan. Our Mishnah is coming to teach us, no. That if the one shliach does not say the words b'fanenechtam, b'fanenechtam, I keep saying say the words. It's more than say the words. Meaning, he wasn't actually present for the writing and for the signing of the get, and therefore he cannot honestly report b'fanu nechtam, so the get is no good. Meaning it's a puzzle get. Let's just do two more lines. The Gemara says b'fanu nechtam chatzio b'fanu nechtam kulo puzzle. Hai chatzio ilay mechatzio rishon v'amar v'lazar filo kasev bo alashita achas l'shma shuvin etzarech. How much of the get does he need to be present for in terms of the writing? So we learned earlier in the Masechta, the Gemara is reminding us, one line. Now, which line, Rashi points out, the line of the names and the dates. But he only has to be there for one line. So, Am Ravashi Chetzio Acharon. So Ravashi says that our Mishnah is describing where he wasn't there for that key one line. He was there for some of the other of the Ksiva Saget. For the purposes of b'fanenechtam, it's simply insufficient. And therefore, we'll pass all the get. If he's there for the critical line of the names and the date, so that's considered b'fanenechtam. Stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up at the bottom of the oven.